Two things before your questions. First, I just think someone should say a word of congratulations and commendation to the people of NDOT. The I-70 project, which is now wrapping up, has been, from everything I can see, really very well handled. On time, on budget, as little disruption as I guess is possible with a project this large. A lot of care for the community and the merchants and others who rightly were concerned about it. But we always are quick to point out when projects like this are badly handled. From anything I can tell, this one was well done, and I just want to say a word of thanks to the public servants who brought it off. Secondly, I simply want to remind everyone that the cold weather is upon us again. We've taken every step, and we believe Indiana is, again, well prepared to help those who might have trouble with their heating bills. Last year, 144,000 Hoosiers were helped, cost about $44 million. We have about $56 million assembled from various sources to be ready for this year. We expect to help at least an equivalent amount of people and to at least a similar amount of dollars. Again, we have lifted the ceiling and we'll be helping citizens up to 150% of poverty. And I'm grateful that the utilities of the state have picked up our Help Thy Neighbor program. They'll run it themselves this time, and they will be helping those above 150% up to 200% who do run into trouble with their heating bills. So please help us spread the word that help is available, and those who may encounter difficulty, their fellow citizens are here to help.
Have you heard anything from former Governor Kern or Chief Justice Shepherd about the Local Government Consolidation Commission? That seems to be like the final piece that people are waiting for to see what happens with property tax reform.
First, I would describe it as the next step, the natural follow-on to property tax relief. I believe that comprehensive relief, as we have suggested, including permanent protection of caps for all classes of property and real total local spending controls, will necessitate fundamental reform. In other words, to stay within new limits and to provide this permanent protection to taxpayers, local and school government will have to take more seriously the opportunity to collaborate and be more efficient. Yes, I've heard from them, and they're on schedule. And I ask them to try to report to the citizens of Indiana by the end of the year, and they tell me they're pretty sure they'll be doing that. I expect to report before Christmas.
The Kent Lincoln Commission reported this week a complimentary thing to say about that they weren't quite on board with the one-point increase in sales tax. Does that have to be the tax you focus on, and does it have to be a full point?
I think it's the fairest. To provide the extent of relief that I think is required for homeowners in this state, you would need a full point and more. If you'll remember, we propose to return to taxpayers a part of the surplus that we have so painstakingly restored through spending restraint. But I'm open to alternatives that the legislature may come to. But I want to make certain we provide at least the amount of property tax reduction that that I've proposed from one means or another.
Do you think that throughout for more use of the local option income tax, which you have supported, and taxing services instead of the current current array, are those things that are open?
Well, I looked at broadening to services, and I'd prefer we not do that. But again, I'm open to the General Assembly's thoughts about that. I don't personally propose forcing local option income increases. There's not much of a local option if there is no option. So there's one small point of difference between me and the commission report. I would prefer to leave it entirely voluntary. And once again, we can lower property taxes in Indiana to among the lowest in America, somewhere down in the bottom 7 or 8 or 9, best we can tell, without either of the two steps you asked me about.
Sure. Okay. Last thing is to follow up. What's wrong with the services tax?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying it's not necessary in order to provide this relief. And many people do wonder once you start where you stop. But again, I need to be flexible and open, and this is a great example of the kind of debate that we're going to have, and I'm not going to rule out changes that the legislature might prefer in order, as long as we get to the goals that I've laid out: major immediate reform, long-term permanent protection, fairer reformed assessment, and true control of local spending. There's a lot of ways those cats can be skinned.
So by them proposing options that are maybe more controversial than the one you proposed, does that, do you think, help get to the goal?
Well, I think we ought to let a lot of flowers bloom right now. Here's what I think all taxpayers should be very optimistic about, and that is that I believe we have a general framework of immediate major reform, long-term permanent protection through caps, modernization and for fairness of the assessment system, and true control of total local spending. We all seem to be in agreement about that, and I've given my best suggestion as to how we get there, but I've got to be prepared to listen to alternative approaches, and I'm glad that we've seen some.
Sheriff Anderson is asking for a referendum on changing the control of the police in Marion County back to the mayor. And that would have to go through the legislature. Are you concerned that having a divisive issue like this back in the legislature again might damage the prospects of property tax reform?
I don't think anything will get in the way of property tax relief and reform, and I don't intend to let it. I think the legislature has time to deal with other issues, and this could be one. But if at any point any issue threatens to get in the way of job one, which is bringing down property taxes and keeping them there for the future, then it may. I'll be for it taking second chair.
So one of the criticisms I've heard about replying from some people is that why have in law caps on local government spending and not in law caps on state spending? And you may say that you've done that yourself, but the next governor down the road may have different views.
It's a legitimate viewpoint. I would point out we do have a cap today for the state, and that is the requirement of a balanced budget. Now, it's been evaded a couple of times, and I hope we've put an end to that. I hope never again does any administration engage in the bookkeeping of late payments and so forth. But we do have a limitation that I think has been effective for most of our history. And it's exactly the point that we don't have any such limitation locally. Each taxing unit can go to the whatever ceiling it can get away with, and nobody adds it all up. And that's how you wind up with year-on-year 7 or 8% increases that people can't afford at the local and school level. But it's not unthinkable at all that we might put in place some sort of limitation at the state level beyond what's already in existence. I'd be open to that.
Are you with a group here yesterday calling for the elimination of the property tax?
Uh-huh.
Is that out of the question at this point?
I think it is. I think their heart's in the right place, but the arithmetic is bad. The enormous tax increases you would need to go all the way, I think, would be very injurious to an Indiana economy that is really running strong right now. In addition, they want a referendum, and I'm for that in the right circumstances, but a lot of people would lose their homes in the time it would take to have a referendum on their plan. And we need action in January, February, now, to make certain that relief comes immediately and we get protections in place. So those are two reasons that I respectfully disagree. I would also point out there's been some public opinion survey work done that says that such a plan would lose resoundingly, so it probably would not be productive for them.
What polling are you
doing? It was the Central Indiana Partnership, Corporate Partnership.
People in the nation are facing problems with rising health care costs, especially rising fuel costs right now. In a lot of areas, home values are going down because there's trouble in the housing market. How sure are you that the kind of changes we're making will not hurt essential city services?
I'm confident that particularly If we enter an era in which someone has the responsibility locally to add it up, add up the bill and control it, first of all, the taxpayers will be much better off in their pocketbooks. And secondly, that we will define more carefully what an essential service is. That's exactly why I believe someone must take responsibility, some group must be accountable for assigning priorities so that, and each community will decide its own, but inevitably public safety, education, and activities like that will rise to the top. And so I think we'd be better off than today, starting with the fact that taxpayers would have bills, more affordable bills, than they otherwise will.
Are you open to give the taxpayers any sort of extension for that reconciliation bill that's coming early next spring? Because a lot of folks don't think the rebate will cover what that increase is going to be. Then they got a May property tax bill and a federal income tax bill. Maybe it's some installment payment or something to alleviate that.
I'm open to that. We've already acted in a variety of ways to give extensions and maximum flexibility for people to handle these problems. I'm very grateful, by the way, that both the House and the Senate tell me that they will ratify those various extensions when they reorganize. So, yes, that's a possibility.
Governor, the tax court last week dismissed a lawsuit that, at least in part, questioned whether you had the authority to make some of the administrative changes that the legislature is going to talk about on Tuesday. There's still a similar issue, a lawsuit pending on the fees for the horse slots, the license transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at, you kind of dodged the bullet last week. You have one still going on. Are you any more, reticent to make those kind of changes on your own without the legislature?
No, I'm not. When we have a chance to bring relief to taxpayers, we're going to take it. And the fact that some court might theoretically step in later is not for me a reason for paralysis or inaction. I would rather take the action and defend it if necessary than miss a chance to help taxpayers because maybe a court might disagree.
Governor, the Kinley Commission, they could not agree on the school transportation levy or the referendum part of the proposal.
Right.
Is that a concern for you that they didn't have their consensus on those issues?
No, these are all things honest people can differ about. I think the referendum approach would be, first of all, better for taxpayers, and secondly, less clunky and burdensome than the system that we have today. And I just simply would encourage those who do not trust the people of Indiana to make balanced decisions about when they should be taxed for a given major project to give people more credit than that. I think if you make a good case to the citizens of this state that a new structure or a new investment is made and that it's a fair price, I trust them to make a wise decision, and I would encourage those who are nervous about that to do likewise. Did you ask about another? Oh, sorry, yeah, the levies. Well, it's a new idea, and I'm not particularly bothered that not everybody immediately got together on it. I'm still going to argue strongly for it for a couple reasons. One, it provides more relief if we pick it up. Two, it provides, I think, picking up these levies entirely, taking responsibility for them here, provides more permanence. Once they're entirely here, they're not going back. And three, I honestly believe that this would provide more flexibility to schools, at least the way I see it. When the formulas were run and every school district got a check for all its operations and a check for transportation, if they can save in one category and have the money available for the other, it would give them more flexibility to do it. So I think it's a good idea, but it's a new one, and I think it's only natural that some folks want more time to study it.
Governor, when you were putting together your plan, I wondered wondered if you thought there was any state that had gotten the right mix of taxes that provided for the permanent control you're looking for without harming services, or do you think we're going to be the first?
Well, first of all, I don't mind when we're the first at things. I sort of like that. Indiana's becoming a place of firsts and leadership, telecommunications, transportation, mail order pharmacy, and so forth, and biggest biodiesel plant in the world, and I like that. But, yes, we looked a lot at other states for both positive and negative lessons. Arizona, if I recall, was a state that has a permanent 1% cap for homeowners, and the more I looked at that, the more fairness and permanence I saw in that. On the other side, Florida has been wrangling with this problem lately, and I thought I saw some lessons there about complexity. They made it more and more complicated as it went along, very difficult to apparently for taxpayers to understand. And I really, as we went through our process, found myself more and more drawn to clarity and simplicity. 1, 2, and 3% caps, 1% sales tax, plain and simple. I think both in terms of the public's having confidence and understanding the plan and also administering it afterward, that I saw some value in that. And everything I read about Florida pushed me that direction.
Governor, we saw a number of incumbent mayors turned out on election day. Did you draw a message from that?
Well, I think a variety. You know, I get all over the state, and as I have been, you know, there's not a particular pattern. In one place, it might be property taxes or crime, but in other places, it's the argument about the golf course or maybe some personal matter. So I think there's a message that says people want action, and that's good. If it leads to more impetus for property tax relief and reform, that's great. We need all the public energy we can in that. But I don't overread it either.
Are you worried that next year being an election year, legislators are up, that property tax reform may get caught up in politics?
No. I'll be very surprised, and we just can't let that happen. I actually think it's going to work the opposite way, and I think that everything that the legislative leaders in both parties have said is very encouraging. I think there's a lot of will to tackle this problem hard and bring major relief and reform, I'm determined that they'll stay here till we do, but I don't think it's going to be necessary. I think that there's a general will to do that, and I look forward to them sharing deservedly a lot of credit among them all when it's done.
Governor, Congressman Visclosky was here this week. He wants legislators next year to do a $30 million tax in Lake and Porter counties to support the expansion of the South Shore. Do you think a tax like that has a place in a session where everyone's going to be talking about cutting taxes?
I think that's entirely up to the delegations from that area. And, I wouldn't rule it out because I think there's great upside potential in Northwest Indiana. The RDA that we created, that we funded through major moves, I believe that board already has established this as perhaps the most promising project, this being the South Shore mass transit expansion. So I think that, since what's being proposed wouldn't cost anybody outside the region a penny, we ought to at least be open to voices from up there. And if speaking on behalf of a majority of citizens there, this is something they want to do, it ought to get an audience. It sure will with me because, as I say so redundantly, I really see great upside in Northwest Indiana. And have already acted to make sure we can make some major investments like this one.
The Midwest governors this week committed to reducing CO2. What specific reason do you have?
That's not what they committed to. They committed to work together on a variety of environmental issues and to have a look at this issue. I signed on because I'm an enthusiast for biofuels, which is part of the document, clean coal, which is part of the document, we signed up as observers, as many other states did, because we ought to take an open stance and think about the CO2 issue, but don't overread what's in that little Concord.
Do you expect concrete action out of California, either from Indiana or some of the neighboring states, or is this purely going to be at least for now, just
for the moment? I think it's a commitment to study, talk together, and see what collaborative steps might make sense. And I'm open to that. But I'll say this, we are not going to impoverish the citizens of Indiana without a very good reason, something that promises to bring real results. Real results make some difference in terms of future climate or environment.
Governor, your spending controls are based on the rolling six-year average of the county's personal income.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the individual counties, you have some like Hamilton, it's close to 7%, another one's down around 1.2%.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any danger that it's going to make the rich richer and the poor poorer by limiting to that? The rich community will be able to spend more money on their schools, more money on police protection, mm-hmm. more money on infrastructure. The poor county won't, yet they may have some of the same bills.
I don't think you make a poor county richer by taxing its citizens beyond their ability to pay. That's a way to make them poorer. And while I'm open, by the way, to other formulas, some say, well, it should be a statewide average as opposed to a local average. To me, a big problem we've had is that local spending has been outrunning local incomes significantly year after year, and it's making it hard for people to afford to pay. So I would question the premise that you make a county, quote, richer or better off by spending a lot more government money. You could just as easily argue the reverse, that this only drives away business and takes money out of people's pockets that could otherwise make that county grow more quickly.
They used your decision in the Arthur Baird case as part of the reason behind that. I wondered what you thought about that as a possibility.
The commutation had mostly to do with the expressed wishes of the family, the jury that convicted him, and the fact that at the time there was not the possibility of life without parole. And those were the most material circumstances. But I will pay attention to the recommendations of the study committee. If the legislature heads in this direction, I'll work with them on it.
I have one more question on your plan.
Sure.
I should have been at your briefing. Other issue that I've heard from some people, they're concerned that, I'm going to see my property taxes go down, but now I'm seeing maybe both my income and my sales tax going up depending on what happens in the legislature. And they don't see any end in sight to that if we keep taking over things like the school transportation fund. What would you tell those people who are worried that they're just robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Well, first of all, on my plan, it is a genuine tax reduction. Less taxes net would be collected from the people of Indiana because we would provide not only the relief of the 1 cent sales tax, but also dollars from the racetrack slots and dollars, some use from the surplus that has been generated by spending restraint without tax increases at the state level. So that's, I guess, point one. But, their vigilance will be required. It's another reason I personally don't favor compelling a local income tax and leaving it as a local option, which then people have the opportunity to resist if they don't like the trade-off or the use of the money. All right. Thank you.